Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number three, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We're on the Game Nashville app as well. If you're home and not near radio, you can listen to us on that or on your Alexa devices, Google, whatever you got. You can listen to us there. Last week, the Titans re-signed Dennis Kelly, right tackle, utility man. They brought him back on a 3-year deal, and he joined us on Friday's show to discuss that and why he was glad to be back in the Music City.
We're scattered all over the place. Hour number two underway, and Dennis Kelly is going to help with the scattering. We bring him on via the telephone. I don't know exactly where Dennis is, but he has inked a new deal with the Titans, and the Undertaker now joins us. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is a little bit different times we're in right now. What I guess you're getting to know the family. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, this is definitely a very, very weird time right now. I have a month-year-old, or one-month-old baby.
Wow.
So we have already kind of been doing that, you know, the social distancing on our own. So we're in week four at this point. So the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old are getting pretty testy, and they're testing their boundaries right now. So my wife and I are definitely working our way through and trying to find ways to keep them entertained, but obviously, you know, keep them away from as many people as we can currently.
Yeah, you guys got your hands full right now. So this is – you get to be full-on dad right now.
Yeah, we picked a hell of a time to add to the family, that's for sure.
Was this an easy – decision for you? Was this an easy process? This is part of the business, but take us through it and how you arrived to coming back to Tennessee and being with the Titans.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I, our family, we really, really, I love Nashville. You know, it's one of those things where when the trade happened, you know, it kind of gave us a breath of fresh air in terms of playing football and being involved in the NFL, and the city has just been very welcoming and very receptive of us. And so in that regard, it made it an easy choice. On the professional level, there's always that. You get in, you test the market, you see what some other people are saying, and you know, you try and do what's best for you and your family. And you know, the whole time, this pretty much my entire career, I've been asking for a chance to start. And you know, I knew here in Tennessee, I know the coaches and other players. It's like that all fit really well. It's just, you know, getting that opportunity to show that I can be a starter in this league.
Let's go back, because I don't think we've ever talked about this with you. Let's go back to the day that you were traded from Philadelphia to here. Mm-hmm. At the time, just go back to that mindset and going back to your family. What did you think at the time when that trade initially happened? Were you excited? Were you perplexed? Were you like, oh, my gosh, what does this mean? Because obviously you've just told us how you feel today now that
right.
You've been here for a while. But what was it like then, Dennis?
You know, it was a very – a whirlwind is a good way to explain it, especially because that was Doug Peterson's first year. And he was in Philly my rookie year with Andy Reid. And so I felt really comfortable again knowing the offense, and I was in good standing with the coaches. So I felt really confident that, like, I knew what was going on. There were rumblings that Lane Johnson was going to have his second suspension. So I was already like, okay, I might be playing a bunch this year. And then as we're getting ready for our last practice at camp, they come and grab me and say, you know, Howie wants to talk to you. And it's like, oh boy. Like,
yeah.
I knew I wasn't getting cut because I just played really well in that preseason game, but I was like, well, this is probably a goodbye, guys. And yeah, there's just a lot of, not confusion, but just kind of nervous excitement. You know, didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I had to, you know, look at who the coaches were, you know, found out obviously it was, you know, Malarkey and that Russ Grimm was the line coach. And I talked to him when I was going through the draft processing because he was out in Arizona. But other than that, I didn't really know that much about the roster or anything. So there was a time of leaving my wife and my oldest, who was a little over a year at the time, and just like, I got to go, like, figure the house out, I guess. And so, yeah, you know, but when I got here, it was the team and the organization did a really good job of making it a smooth transition of trying to, you know, Mike Sullivan did, him and I really were able to form a good relationship with him trying to catch me up and us being able to relate. But yeah, it's a whirlwind for sure.
What was last season? Let me phrase it this way. When did you know, did you guys know, because I think everybody wants to know if you can come into a season with expectations, but sometimes things just unfold. I mean, nobody saw it coming with the Predators' run to the Stanley Cup final back, you know, 4 years ago. Nobody saw that coming. It just happened. But things have to happen in a room, as you know, Dennis. There's got to be chemistry. And you're in it every day, so you see things outsiders don't. When did you know that last year had a chance to go, you know, the direction everybody wanted it to go? When did you know that something special was happening?
You know, I will say, because I was talking to a couple of players actually about it yesterday, when we were back in OTAs, our offense was humming. And compared to 2018, with all the new coaches and everything, it definitely felt like the defense had the upper hand during those spring, you know, practices, so to speak, where that wasn't the case this past offseason. So there was definitely one of those, there was a vibe of like, okay, we have something here. We got to keep it going. And obviously, beginning of the year happened, and I think that might have added to some of the, I don't say frustration, but just kind of the, like, we know we can do it. Why aren't we doing it? And I think there was being able to step back and kind of understand, and everyone just like almost taking a breath and be like, we've shown we can do this before. We've had spurts even in the games where we were in that first half of the season where it wasn't going our way to show that we can do it. Let's just, you know, build the chemistry back, get that rhythm back, and you know, get it rolling.
We're talking to Dennis Kelly, offensive tackle and great utility man, and now the projected starter for the Tennessee Titans, signing and re-upping with his team. And Dennis, I want to ask you something, because I think we're all looking for direction, and I know the league has put directives out there, but in terms of athletes that are trying to stay in shape for the time we have going forward, I know the picture is not clear, but you know, you're a professional athlete. You want to stay in shape. You were just talking about the importance of the off season, and we know the off season is going to be very different for everybody, especially in the NFL. So, what are you personally doing to stay in shape? What's the program like for you? What have you been told?
So there's only so much that they can actually tell us legally with the CBA and everything. But timing wise, it kind of worked out for me because I installed my own personal gym down in my basement because with having the new baby, it just with convenience wise, it would be easier having the stuff at the house instead of going over to the gym that I usually work out at. So I have everything I need in that regard. And it's kind of the same story for me, just doing what I've been doing, you know, in past years. And that, you know, I'm preparing. You know, obviously we don't play any games until September, but, you know, the off-season program may start, it may not start, we don't know. So you kind of just have to make sure that you're ready for the off chance if they're like, all right, in 2 weeks you guys are coming in.
And that is something that I know you've always excelled in, the mental preparation. at times being able to slide into any number of roles, including a pass catcher. But what is that like? How did you learn how to get good at that? Because that is such an important thing for all athletes and really all people, right? The mental preparation for being able to excel when your name is called.
Yeah, I think obviously a little bit out of necessity to continue being able to play in the league. If you're not a starter, you got to find a way to make sure that you're versatile and able to help the team in multiple ways, not just, you know, one trick pony, so to speak. And mentally, I talked to Taylor about it a lot all the time. I was like, I hate that feeling of unknown. I like the being prepared aspect of it is kind of what drives me. And so with that, you know, I'd rather be over-prepared and not be needed instead of being needed and being like, well, wish I'd watched some more film this week. So that's kind of the way I always approached it, and it worked out in my favor.
We're talking to Dennis Kelly, Titans offensive lineman. And Dennis, at the end of the season, I asked Taylor this question of, you know, you guys made an incredible run to the AFC Championship game and came up a little bit short, but we all know that it's a business. There are going to be changes in a locker room. There are guys that are leaving your room. We know Jarrell Casey was traded yesterday to Denver. Mm-hmm. What is that like of finding the balance of you want to keep the group together, you want to try and finish what you started, but you also know that you have to make those changes to keep up with the rest of the league?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating process of the business that we play, just because, you know, there's money involved, there's, you know, my personal product is my talent, and at some point there's going to be a regression. Like, that's just science and that's nature. And so there's always the argument of, do we want to get out, you know, kind of the buy low, sell high type process when it comes to a player, where you don't want to hold on to a player for too long. But at the same time, you know, there's, like I mentioned, the salary cap is always moving. You know, there's rumors with the new CBA deal that it's supposed to blow up next year. So there's so many different moving parts to try and, like you said, maintain a team that got, you know, was arguably a half away from making it to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, the front office has, you know, a really hard job to try and find that perfect, delicate balance of good experience, good talent, good youth, you know, good leadership, all of it to meld together.
The offensive line is a very tight-knit group, but you're also very tight with the quarterback, the guy that you're paid to protect. Ryan gets the long-term deal. What was it about him that he was able to command that locker room, command that huddle, and take over, and ultimately now he's the quarterback for the foreseeable future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's I talked about it yesterday, and the whole situation with him coming in and replacing Marcus was a very unique situation because of the position they kind of put both of those two men at. And, you know, Marcus is so well-liked in the locker room, the organization, in the city, and such a great person. And there's that aspect where Ryan is just as great in all of those things I just mentioned. There's that dynamic of, how is this going to go over? You know, you're replacing him. You know, there's this. And there wasn't any tension. There wasn't any drama. There wasn't any issues with it from either side of it. And when Ryan came in, he just took it over and made sure that things looked the way that he wanted them to look. And so there was that aspect of it's almost like he just stepped in. And it's like, all right, this is what we're doing. This is how we're rolling, and this is where we're going. And I think that calming presence, that calming leadership, I think really brought the guys together.
Now, I'm a big wrestling fan. I've seen you out at AEW and a couple of different events. How did the whole Undertaker – I mean, you do have a striking resemblance to the Dead Man, but how did the whole Undertaker thing start?
You know, it's funny. I think a combination of the size and, you know, I've always wanted long hair, partially because of my fandom of wrestling. And the coincidence that I kind of have that – the a similar appearance to him. It's just, you know, obviously coincidence. But, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to lean into it, right?
Absolutely. Have you met him?
No, I haven't. That is one, you know, bucket list thing that I would like to do.
That's awesome. Dennis, last thing real quick. So you guys passed the new CBA. You brought that up just a minute ago. Were you pleased the direction moving forward, or were you a little disappointed?
You know, I think with any negotiation, you're going to get some things that you like, some things that you don't like. You know, I think there's a lot of good that can come from the CBA. And, you know, at the end of the day, essentially it all comes down to money. And with, you know, this extra game, the extra playoff game, there's projections that there's going to be a lot of the money. So, and that can help guys, not just in their salary, but with the benefits and taking care of themselves after football. Cause I think that's growing to be more and more, there's more awareness about it. You know, obviously, you know, when I was growing up, no one really thought that when a professional football player finished playing that he wasn't going to be fine for the rest of his life. That was just like, okay, that he's good. Or, you know, reports came out and just came out, they had the 30 for 30 bro. You know, things started coming out saying that, you know, it's not always the way people make it out to be. And so I think that this new CBA and what we were able to get, they should be able to, again, to help ease the transition. I think that's the biggest thing, is trying to help guys find their way and what they want to do after football.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, really appreciate the visit. Good luck with the little ones at home, and we look forward to talking to you down the road when you guys get cranked up again.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys.
Becker on this Thursday afternoon, Darren Dunick and Chase. We'll have Mitch Light at the bottom of the hour from The Athletic. They did something we're going to discuss. Elliot Freeman, weekly chat with him coming up at 1 o'clock. Speaking of 1 o'clock, tomorrow as we wrap up this week, we're going to do a little trivia for the first time in a long time. And we're excited about that. So we're going to unveil some trivia. We'll have a little fun with you in the 1 o'clock hour tomorrow to close out the week. Elijah, do we have I know Marcus Mariota just did an interview, I believe, in Hawaii about his decision to go to the Las Vegas Raiders and why he chose them. Do we have that?
I've got a couple clips here, about four different ones.
I want to, if you could, play the one where he talks about, I guess, getting some stability in Las Vegas. Do we have that one?
Well, we have asked how prepared he is to compete in the quarterback room, his two priorities he had while going through free agency.
That might be what you're alluding to. Let's play that.
I had two priorities that I had while I was going through this free agency process, and number one was to find stability. I wanted to be a part of an organization that had a stable head coach, that had stability in the front office. And then secondly, for me, I wanted to be a part of a coaching staff that could bring out the best of me, that could embrace my talents and just kind of put my best foot forward. The bonus and the cherry on top of it was being closer to home and being in Vegas. And again, I really can't stress it enough. We're so excited.
There you go, Marcus Mariota. Talking about his decision to sign with the Las Vegas Raiders. Look, the close thing to home, we all know Hawaii is a long ways away from Nashville, and that's always been something that, you know, he would race back home, and I get it. That's his love. That's where, you know, that's home, and that's a long ways from here in Nashville. And so I can understand that part. That's not a surprise. Anytime anybody would throw out any speculation on him, usually they were thinking back on that side of the country. But the other stuff, I got to be honest, like, it's like, really, Marcus? So it's about stability? An offensive staff that can get the best out of you? And a front office, stability. Really? So that was – is that a shot here? Because I don't know how else you take it. And I got to be honest, it's like I – that just sounds like excuses. And I kind of feel like this is my opinion. Marcus, you're a little better than that. You know, we've praised you for how you conduct yourself, but let's not blame people for why it didn't work out here. You were given every, and I mean every, opportunity
was. But Darren, he had multiple head coaches and offensive coordinators.
Well, maybe if he was better, maybe they wouldn't have had multiple coaches. Typically, when quarterbacks light it up, they're not making coaching changes.
Well, and I'm waiting for the loud minority to come out and say and defend him, and you know he is better than that. I'm a little surprised if that was a shot. I mean, he does have okay. If he wants to talk about coaching stability, yep, he has that because the Raiders signed John Gruden to a ridiculous contract,
yes,
and
they're
going to be stuck
in.
With him,
yep.
And they're going to get what they get. And so far, I haven't really been impressed with what I've seen. So
yep.
I don't think it's been all that great. With Chucky, and then they get another guy in Mike Mayock as a general manager that was on TV and was a good evaluator from a television standpoint. Now he's the GM. So if that's what he calls stability, then fine. Good luck to him. I do think he's going to be in a position to compete because for whatever reason, John Gruden doesn't seem to like Derek Carr, even though they're paying Derek Carr a lot of money. I could see that being a competition at some point in time, and I think that that's one reason that Marcus isn't going to say that. He's going to say all the right things because that's what he does. That, oh, I'm here, you know, I know my role, I'm going to be the backup and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, we know how that goes. So I think that's one reason why he went there too. You can give me all this stuff that it's closer to Hawaii and stability. Yeah, he looked at the 32 teams or 31 other teams in the league and he found one where, hey, you know what, I could go to Chicago or I could go to Vegas and probably have a shot to be the starter. That's my opinion.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too, saying they're going to use me and try to bring out the best in me. I don't know if that means he's implying that that wasn't the case. But the stability thing I get, that's just a fact, right? That's I don't think that's an excuse. That if he wants to say that, I don't have a problem with that. But trying to bring out the best in him, I don't know if you're implying that they weren't trying to do that here. I agree with you guys on that part. Maybe he wasn't even meaning to try to compare, but inevitably, from our standpoint, we're going to compare what he says, right? You know, what's different about Vegas. But let's also be honest about one thing. It's not like he had a ton of teams, I don't think, that were really interested in him, right? I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. I don't think there was a whole lot of teams that he could choose to go to.
Yeah, I just, you know, one, there is no stability in the NFL. There's Bill Belichick and everybody else. I mean, give me a break.
Not for long.
You know, the Raiders situation is unique because of this outlandish contract they gave Gruden. So, Chase, you laid it out perfectly. That's correct. They are basically locked into him because they're not going to get out from underneath that anytime soon. So he knows it. He's going to be there for a while. I mean, yeah, Andy Reid certainly has stability in Kansas City, but give me a break with stability in the NFL, Marcus. Come on, man. You've been in it for 5 years, okay? I mean, by the way, you had an offensive coordinator that got the head coaching job after 1 year with the Green Bay Packers, and you threw 13 touchdowns.
Yeah, and we all thought, I mean,
1 year he was the OC, and he got the head coaching job at Green Bay. You think, obviously somebody thought highly of him, and you threw 13 touchdowns in 16 games on his watch. So
I'm not going to speak for you, but I know that I felt like I wasn't all that impressed by Matt LaFleur his 1 year here, and I was surprised when Green Bay hired him to be the head coach. But now we saw in that 1 year as the head coach with Green Bay, granted he's got Aaron Rodgers, it looked pretty good.
I just I was like I could have done without those comments.
I sense some angst in you, Darren. I'm a little bit surprised.
I didn't think there was anything
controversial about
deal,
what he's
Willie.
Saying, but I do think
as
it's a little presumptuous to not think there's going to be stability.
As you know, I have been one that has probably been more outspoken about Marcus, not anything personal, just about ability, than anybody else in this market. And for there at times taken a lot of heat because the defenders of Marcus have been loud and proud, and they're not as loud and proud anymore. Okay, so in fact, it to me it bothers me a little bit. Now it's easy that he's gone. I see people who I know defended him. I've heard them now they seem to talk freely about him going and all of his faults here when nobody was saying that when it was happening. And now it's easy to say it now that he's gone. So, yeah, that ticks me off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what? I was saying that stuff, and it wasn't ever anything personal about Marcus. This organization did everything to try to prop him up and give him every, and I mean every opportunity for him to succeed. They wanted Marcus to be the guy. They wanted him to be the guy long-term for a decade or longer. It was up to him. At some point,
but
it's up to you.
I didn't sense – well, all of what you're saying is true, but I don't sense any bitterness on his part when he says those things. I don't think he's that kind of guy. That's not the impression I got when he was saying those things.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I have no person – I have nothing against him, just like Darren was saying. I have nothing against him personally. But the fact of the matter is this. The organization propped him up, like Darren was saying. They knew that they could not screw this up because they had screwed it up twice before. Vince Young didn't work out. Jake Locker didn't work out. So third time's a charm, they thought. We got to bring this guy in, second overall pick from Oregon, and make him be the guy. And guess what? He wasn't. And they gave him every freaking opportunity to be the guy. And you know, he was great in the community, I'll give him that, but he didn't want to do interviews. He wanted to just kind of keep to himself. You time and time again, you would talk to people in the locker room or people that had played with him, and they'd say, you know, you just can't make Marcus mad. I did an interview, or I had Brett Kern on Smashville Live, and I brought up Marcus, and, you know, he was saying, you know, I hope he has a fresh start and does well, and he goes, you know, he's just the nicest guy. I did everything I could to try and make him mad. I could just never make him mad. It was like a game to us to try and to get him riled up, and he just wouldn't do it. When you're the starting quarterback of a team, that's kind of a problem. I mean, you need to have that motivation, and that's something that we have talked about ad nauseum for 5 years. So whether he was taking a shot or not, I will say this, good luck to him. But I'm ready to close the book on Marcus Mariota in Nashville because it just didn't work. Now I'm fired up.
I don't know for sure if it was a shot or not. I'm just saying I could have got just to me it comes off whether he meant it or not. It just comes off as excuses, and I don't really want to hear excuses because you know all the defenders of Marcus Mariota for 5 years here. I had to listen to it. You guys know we had heated debates on this show about it, and I took a lot of heat for not propping him up and always praising him. And you know what? I don't want to hear excuses because he was given every opportunity. Just go move on. It was fine here. That's nothing personal against him. He's a great, great guy. He's just not, in my opinion, he's just not an everyday starter in the NFL. And it's the way I felt for years, and I think it's going to play out that way. I don't think he's going to go somewhere else and all of a sudden ignite and turn into this guy we never saw here. If it does, good for him. I'll have to see it to believe it.
I'm with you. 100%.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Mitch Light from The Athletic. We'll do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good message. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're bringing Mitch Light. He always has to work for a place that starts with an A. Now it's The Athletic. And he is on the line with us. And The Athletic has put out something on their site. The Athletic presents the Nashville Sports Hall of Fame. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. And, you know what's been – thanks for having me on, Darren. And, you know, it's been kind of – we've seen lately where people go around and – you know, they get a camera crew ready to tell people they've made certain Hall of Fames and kind of catch them in a candid moment. Well, I'm here to tell you, Darren, that you did not make the Nashville Sports Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. Oh,
wow. What?
So wow, you did. So you did. So you did just the opposite. You are surprising people with bad news, not good news.
I'm surprising people that you were even considered by anybody.
Hey, that's impressive in itself.
Hey, we've got time.
I haven't been on with you guys in a while. I need to come out, taking some shots at Darren.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we've got extra time, so why not take a different route? That's fine. I get it. Who's next on your list to inform them they're not in the Nashville Sports Hall of Fame?
A lot of people. But actually, you know, thanks for having me on. And this is something that we, you know, at the Athletic, with no sports going on, you know, there's still good stuff to read. John Gornan's still covering a lot of Titans offseason stuff. But as a staff, we are kind of making an effort to a lot of evergreen topics. And a lot of cities around the country, if you go to the Athletic and bounce around, are doing Hall of Fames. And we had the idea, actually stole it from our Buffalo site, of doing a draft. So the four of us on the Athletic staff, me, Joe Rexroad, Adam Vingan, and John Glennon, basically held a snake draft to pick ours. So that's what we came up with. And it was fun. We can talk about any of the names on there. I'll let you guys ask questions. But as people have commented, there's, you know, and we knew there were going to be so many tough omissions. But for example, someone just put a comment like Keenan Reynolds, you know, who Nashville kid who went to Navy and maybe the all-time touchdown leader in college football history. Like, I got to be honest, I didn't even think of him. Not that he would have made our Hall of Fame, but this tells you how many really quality sports personalities plus athletes have come through Nashville, you know, over the last, 100 years.
Yeah. So you're only doing 25, right? 25 members? Is that correct?
Yes, we did 25. We did 24, actually, because we had four of us. We had six picks each. And we are leaving the 25th spot up to our readers. So if you go on there, and if you're not a subscriber, we have a 90-day free trial now. You can go on there. There's a little Google form at the bottom where you enter your candidate for the 25th spot.
Interesting. So is it just simply on the body of work? Tell us the criteria of why everybody would make their picks.
Yeah, good question. So the person who commented that Peyton Manning's not on the list because they didn't read the top of the story. It's basically a Nashville list. It's not a state of Tennessee. You had to have either been, you know, raised in Nashville through high school, played here collegiately, or played in the NFL. And we kind of went Middle Tennessee up to Clarksville, over to Murfreesboro. The only one where we kind of fudged on was Bud Adams, who made the list, was picked. I forgot who picked, but I think John Glennon might have picked Bud Adams. Scrolling right now, but Bud Adams, I don't think ever technically lived in Nashville, but you know he spent a lot of time here, and obviously his impact to the sports landscape here was enormous.
So the first pick, Mitch, in the first round was Steve McNair. Do you think Adam Vingan was influenced by maybe not being around as long? Because it's interesting, the first round pick: Steve McNair, Wilma Rudolph, Pat Summitt, Ed Temple. I think depending on your perspective, you could draft any of those four in any particular order, probably.
Yes, and, you know, obviously we can ask Adam, but I think, you know, I don't think there's a wrong pick there. I picked Wilma Rudolph at number two. She probably would have been my number one pick. And this is interesting, too. And, you know, when NFL Hall of Fame voters, same thing. MLB Hall of Fame voters. Everyone has their own criteria. Sure, there are certain things that you're supposed to follow, but to me, it made a bigger difference if you were kind of from here and went to college, or if it wasn't just a college stop. Like Richard Dent made the list. I know I'm bouncing around. NFL Hall of Famer. John Glennon voted for him. Not from here. Went to TSU for 4 years. Obviously, great career. Didn't play here professionally. I think he should be on the list. I have no problem. But I weigh people like Wilma Rudolph, who's from Clarksville, went to TSU. I voted for David Price, a Murfreesboro kid, who obviously went to Vanderbilt. So to me, that was kind of extra stock there. But I don't know if I was surprised that McNair went first. I'm not surprised he was among the top, but just, you know, one of the probably the most popular professional athletes we've had in the city.
I saw, too, that as we go down, Tim Corbin is a pretty high pick, second round pick, eighth overall. That's a pretty interesting choice, because it's so hard in my mind to take a guy in the prime of his career, and this would go for a couple of people on the list, somebody who's in their prime as opposed to somebody who played decades ago. That's sort of the fun part of the comparison.
Yeah, it's just beauty in the eye of the beholder, and that's kind of why we did the snake draft, and that was, you know, Adam Vingan took, we keep talking about Adam's picks. you know, Tim Corbin is obviously had a great career at Vanderbilt and still, you know, continues to have a great career. But he's also a guy that has, you know, made a big impact in the community. He's not just popular with the fans of his team. You know, I think Tim Corbin's very popular in the city and is a big presence here. So yeah, that was a high pick there. And kind of to address your point, one guy who's actually leading our fan voting now, who we almost had at the 25th spot, is Mookie Betts. And Nashville kid, didn't go to college, had signed to go to Tennessee, but is considered, what, the second, third best player in Major League Baseball. Easily could have made it. I didn't vote for him because he's kind of young. Like, if we did this in 5 years, he'd be on it. But I completely understand why some people would vote him. And you know, he's early in his career. You know, we could be doing this in 20 years, and he might be the number one pick.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, Mitch, explain again, before I pass it along to Chase, the criteria and how people would vote for number 25, and maybe give us a couple of names that are floating around that maybe even you considered drafting here.
Yeah, okay. Well, the criteria, again, were from the state of Tennessee, and I mean from the city of Nashville or, you know, Middle Tennessee, and were kind of through high school. Like Tracy Calkins is an example, a world-class swimmer, went to the University of Florida, but she moved to Nashville when she was five, went to Harpeth Hall, went on, won multiple gold medals in swimming. Or, so she counts, if you went to college here or you play professionally here. And you can go to theathletic.com and go to the Nashville site. And again, we have a 90-day free trial if you're not a subscriber. And we have a Google poll or a Google form at the bottom that you can vote for. And like I said, Mookie Betts right now is the leader in the clubhouse. Some other names that I considered, and here's one interesting one, EJ Jr., who I think is, you know, before all of our times here, but you talk to some people, they say he's among the best high school athletes ever in Nashville. Went on to play at Alabama. Sonny Gray, two-time state champion quarterback at Smyrna, obviously went to Vanderbilt and was a first-round draft pick. Roy Skinner, Vanderbilt coach. Someone mentioned in our comments, Phil Bredesen had a huge impact on professional sports here, obviously with, you know, building the arena and was the mayor here when the Titans came. Roy Kramer, athletic director at Vanderbilt. I would say he became more influential after he left Nashville and was with the SEC. Larry Schmitto, John Merritt is another name that I've seen and I thought about. Ron Mercer, a great high school basketball player here, went to Kentucky, was a first-round draft pick. So many good candidates.
We're talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic, and one name that I saw in here that you voted for that was obviously way before my time, but my dad grew up watching him, Bill Wade, former Vanderbilt quarterback. I thought it was cool that he was included on this list.
Yeah, and he's obviously before my time too. And his, as I did more research, I didn't realize his dad was the captain of a Dan McGugan undefeated Vanderbilt team at 21. He's from Nashville, went to NBA. I think most people would say he's the best. I don't know if he's the best Vanderbilt football player ever. He's among that group, was SEC Player of the Year, and then was the first pick in the draft. That means that I weighed that a lot. Like, if you were that good in high school, that's why I voted for David Price, too, and you were the number one pick in your respective draft, played 12 seasons in the NFL, and then was led the Los Angeles Rams to led the Bears to an NFL title, I believe, in 1963. So very, very accomplished Nashville athlete there.
A couple of names that I'll throw out at you that aren't on this list. One, obviously, we know quite well, Floyd Reese, who was the general manager of the Titans when they first moved here. Is he somebody that you'd consider?
Yeah, he did. Actually, I give Joe Rexroad credit because we had our little Slack channel, our group. Originally, we like I said, we each had four picks, six picks to get to 24. Then before we decided to do a fan voting, we were going to just, as a staff, name the 25th one. And then we couldn't come to a consensus, so our cop-out was to have a fan do it. But Joe threw Floyd out there and the architect of the Super Bowl team, so definitely someone who we've talked about.
And then another one, and if Darren and Willie want to weigh in on this, I mean, I know it's still kind of fresh, but you look at the accomplishments that Peter Laviolette had as the head coach of the Predators, getting the team to winning the first division titles, getting them to the Stanley Cup final, winning the President's Trophy. I definitely think he's somebody that has to be considered.
Yeah, I would agree there. And Jeff Fisher is another one that we strongly considered as well. And probably if we had to name a 25 as a staff, that might have been 25. It's interesting with the coaches, and we can all – personally, when I'm weighing them, I go more longevity. Like, that's why I think Barry Trotz and Tim Corbin, and then we've got Rick Bird on here. Like, Peter Laviolette, no doubt, did great things in Nashville, elevated, you know, took what Barry Trotz did, elevated, got to the Predators to the Stanley Cup final. But personally, I would go with a coach who had more of a lasting impression. But that, again, that's one of those where beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
So Adam did not vote for – he did not take Peter Laviolette.
That was very surprising.
Very surprising.
I gave him ample opportunity to change his picks there, but he chose not to.
I agree with you. I think Jeff Fisher belongs there for sure.
Yeah, and kind of a not – you know, we all like Jeff Fisher when he was here, kind of a punchline nationally with all of the 8-8s and whatever. But if you look at his record, it's better than you remember with the Titans. You know, obviously – we know he got to the Super Bowl, but I think 6-10 win seasons, 2-13-3 seasons. Hey, one guy that I picked that I think kind of gets forgotten, and then I'll throw it back out to you guys, is John Henderson, who, when I moved back to Nashville.
Baby Shaq.
Yeah, when I moved back to Nashville in 96 after living in New York for a few years, I think that's kind of when he was coming up. And that's, like you said, and I mentioned it in my capsule, he was first known as a basketball prospect. Went by Baby Shaq, and it's just dominance there. And then emerged as a big-time college football prospect, went to Tennessee, played 4 years there, won the Outland Trophy, played 10 years in the NFL. So he might be, you know, I'm thinking off the top of my head, guys, but since, you know, I went to school here in the early 90s and then moved back in 96, might be, you know, among the very best high school athletes that we've had over the past 20, 25 years.
Those Pearl Cone teams, too, won back-to-back state championships under – Coach Fitzgerald, Maurice Fitzgerald, if I remember correctly, right?
I think so. Yeah, they had a great run there. Sent a lot of kids to Tennessee. You know, John Henderson was just absolutely dominant.
We've got a bracket coming out on Monday, and John Henderson got a Nashville athletes. This is Nashville athletes only, and he's on there. People who don't remember, yeah, he's got to be on there. I think going back to what we were talking about with Fisher, I think – you're right. You laid it out perfectly, Mitch, of, you know, kind of the narrative nationally and some and obviously some here locally. But for a startup market with the NFL, and it's like Barry Trotz, a startup market for the NHL, Barry Trotz and Jeff Fisher were perfect for this market to start up professional sports. I mean, they got it. I mean, they were out in the community. You know, they did all the other things other than just come in and say, I'm a coach, and that's that. They were willing to roll up their sleeves and get out in the community. Yeah.
And we
can't added value.
What Fisher did, just navigating, you know, most NFL coaches, they're just roll up the sleeves, let me coach and do nothing else. He had to navigate the Houston, the Memphis, the Nash, playing at Vanderbilt 1 year, then the stadium. So, I mean, that just kind of added. And then the funny thing, ironic thing, is he had to pretty much do the same thing when he went to the Rams, moving from St. Louis to Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Mitch, really appreciate it. How's everything going so far at the
good,
Athletic?
Good. No, everyone's I was going to say everyone's happy and healthy in my house. Everyone's healthy, as Willie can probably tell, with a teenage daughter, especially my daughter, who would rather be at college than be home. You know, she's been a trooper, but, you know, not always you know, being cooped up in here is not always the best thing, but we're hanging in there.
Well, today maybe you guys can take some walks. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Oh, yeah, it's great outside. But thanks for having me on, guys, and it was fun talking about this.
Yep, we'll talk soon. Mitch Light from The Athletic. Go check out that read. Do you guys agree with everything you heard?
Yeah, I think
I think that the beauty of it is it's up to the beholder, right? I don't know if I would have had them drafted exactly in that order. There's certainly 24 worthy people, and I think that's why it's fun for the readers and listeners to get involved on the 25th. And that's, I think, what we have in mind, right, guys, with what we're going to be doing next week. A little more complex, a little deeper field, and a different criteria. We're setting the tone at 30 years and not going back through the entire history of Nashville, but I think it's a fun article. This is what we have time to do these days, right? Have these fun debates.
Yeah, I think Jeff Fisher and Barry Trotz, I'll just reiterate what I said, considering, you know, those times, and Jeff Fisher even had to navigate, and Barry Trotz had to navigate things in a different way. You know, basically Barry Trotz, his staff, which included Brent Peterson and, you know, people like Pete Weber and Terry Crisp and, you know, Jerry Helper, the people who were here at the beginning, had to go out and also educate. Well, as you know, Hockey 101, there were just so many people in this market that just did not grow up with hockey and were just trying to learn the sport. And so it was about literally teaching the sport that had landed in our market. Jeff Fisher, a little bit different. Yeah, everybody's familiar with football. Everybody's familiar with the NFL. But they had to play in Memphis in 97. They had to play at Vanderbilt in 98. And then they had to move into their new home. Meanwhile, having, you know, being over at TSU and living in trailers out in Bellevue where Chase is, you know, at a mall that at the time that was open and was working and
it
functioning.
Was behind my doctor's office.
Yeah. And so there, you know, that was an NFL team.
I went in those trailers.
Trailers. Just think about that. So different reasons. And so, and you know, and there was the perfect, Floyd Reese had put together the perfect roster also where these, you know, we talked about those guys were out in the community and they were doing players shows and they were out just doing stuff in the community. Predators, no different. I just think it was the perfect storm for this market. I think I don't know what would have happened. I don't even want to think about it. If it were two coaches, you know, that came in and they were just, you know, didn't want any part of any of that stuff. It was like, I'm here just to coach. I don't care about any of that nonsense. You know, I don't know what it would look like today, but Barry and Jeff were perfect at that time to kind of lead Nashville into the professional sports realm.
So you had four people picking. So I think maybe the four drafters had varying perspectives on that. But to me, if you have Barry Trotz in, you probably have to have Jeff Fisher in, right? For the same reasons, all those things
yes.
you were saying.
Yep.
The other one that's tricky for me is Bud Adams, right? You can get a little polarizing in terms of Nashville Hall of Fame.
I would not.
I mean, the
have
obvious
him in there.
Is you would not. See, I don't think you're
no
alone.
Way.
I think there would be a big divide. I think there would be some that would say, well, you have to have it. We don't have these teams if we don't have Bud Adams and the decision to come up here and take a chance on Nashville. But at the same time, Nashville Sports Hall of Fame, I'm not sure if I would have him in the top 25.
I'd have Bredesen there before I'd have Bud Adams.
I would totally have Phil Bredesen in there.
I'd have Phil Bredesen and Jeff Fisher all day over Bud Adams. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Not even
that.
Think twice about it.
Because it doesn't, none of that happens without him. I mean, it just, you have to, it takes two to tango, but nothing happens without Phil Bredesen, who was the mayor at the time that made a lot of this
right.
happen.
Right, but you could play that, you could also play that argument on the other side, right?
Sure,
that
sure.
You
no
had
question.
To have Adams in there too.
But Bud
so
Adams,
not,
had
I don't
no
think he's not
here.
Worthy.
None. Hardly any.
Right.
I mean, the city of Houston could have something to do with it, too, because they wouldn't build a stadium.
Amy Adams Strunk has right. way more presence than her father. Bud yeah. Adams would literally fly in here
True.
And go to the game and fly right out. And, you know, there were obviously other times when he'd pop in here, but he virtually had no presence in this city whatsoever.
And Amy Adams Strunk has not delivered the double barrel salute either, so that's probably good.
We were there.
Not in front
we were
of a camera,
we were there in
sure.
Canton for that. Well, actually, he did it here at a game, and he did it in Canton.
Yeah, I was about to say he's done that a couple times.
He did it in multiple
so
states.
So, who's your vote, guys? Who's your vote for 25? If so, I think I'm hearing a strong one for Fisher.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Jeff Fisher and Phil Bredesen. To me, I would pull Bud
me.
Adams
you
out.
Put me in there, guys.
I mean, and I would have Phil Bredesen and Jeff Fisher as the. Because if I pull Bud Adams out, that leaves it at 23, 24, and 25 to fill all the spots would be Fisher and Bredesen.
Yeah.
And the Mookie Betts one is an interesting one because he's just on the rise, right? He's just entering in. He's entering into the prime of his career, and he could put 5 or 10 more great seasons on the board at least. But where he is right now in this moment of time, I think I'm not surprised at all that he's – getting a lot of votes, that's for sure. But who else would be nominated? I think those three, Bredesen, Fisher, Mookie Betts, for sure, right?
Completely agree.
You mean for nominations? For people voting?
Nominations for number 25.
Yeah.
Sure. But I think Bredesen and Fisher, honestly, should be in.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. To me, it's like there's really no other discussion past those two, in my opinion. That they just... They belong on that list, and I'm just shocked.
Well, we're going to have some fun next week with what we're doing.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm shocked that Adam did not vote for Peter Laviolette. That just floors me. I still cannot get past that. All right, we will come back. Fourth and final hour, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. That's next.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.